We're at the temple of Radha Vinod. We spoke about Lokanath Goswami when we were at the Gokulananda temple, and we saw the samadhi of Lokanath Goswami. But these are the original deities that he worshipped. And I'd like to describe further about his life. In Gonadesh Deepika, there's a detailed description of all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who they are in Krishna Lila. So, Lokanath Goswami in Krishna Lila is Lila Manjari. Lila Manjari, the post of Manjari, or the category of Manjari, indicates a little girl who is assisting the Sakis, who are assisting Radha. Because they're little girls, they're given access into confidential lila of Radha and Krishna, where the older sakis are not allowed to enter, because they're so little, they really don't have any understanding of conjugal relation. There's some description like that in the Vastra Hari Lila, where Krishna was stealing the garments of the gopis. Along with Krishna were some of the very young cowherd boys. The older cowherd boys were not present because they had some sense of boy-girl things. But the little boys with Krishna, they had no sense of boy-girl things. So they were part of that lila. And similarly, the manjaris, of course it's the bhav, it's the transcendental emotion. They want to see the meeting of Radha and Krishna. Because they know that makes Krishna happy. They know it makes Radha happy. So they want to see that which makes Radha and Krishna happy. But they can engage in very confidential matters where there's no consideration of boy-girl things. It just makes Radha and Krishna happy. Rupa Goswami is in a similar category. Sri Rupa Manjari. Jiva Goswami is in a similar category. Vilas Manjari. And Lokanath Goswami is in a similar category. Lila Manjari. So each of the principal friends, girlfriends of Radha, they have manjaris, a group of them, and they assist the sakis. So very naturally, Lokanath and Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, on a platform of rasa, they were very, very close to one another and associated on a similar platform of intimacy in their relationship with Krishna, serving Radha and Krishna. A relative of Lokanath Goswami was Bhugarbha. Bhugarbha Goswami was the paternal uncle. If you remember in Radha Damodar temple, there's the Bhajan Kutir and the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, and way over, as we were circumambulating around, was another Samadhi, the Samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami. So Bhugarbha Goswami and Lokanath Goswami hailed from the same area by birth. And even before Lokanath Goswami came to Navadvip, he was very renounced and very, very, very humble. When you think of Lokanath, you can think of those two qualities. Extremely devotional also. Very humble, very renounced, very devotional. So he accepted the order of sannyas even before he came to Navadvip. And when he came to Navadvip, he was immediately attracted, meaning by constitutional position, he was attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And shortly after, they developed very intimate friendship. And shortly after, that intimate friendship budded, blossomed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Lokanath that he was planning to take sannyas, shave his head and carry a danda and perform the austerities of sannyas. And Lokanath it was unbearable to think, to see his beloved Mahaprabhu in that condition. Although he himself was renounced. It wasn't like, oh, yuck, renounced. It was, he couldn't see that object of his love and worship in undergoing austerities. It's like, you know, having the deity undergo austerities and fast and sleep on a hard wooden surface or something. He couldn't bear to think of that thought. So Mahaprabhu said, not only am I planning to take sannyas, but I want to go to Vrindavan, and I want to be in Vrindavan with you. So can you go to Vrindavan ahead of me and make arrangements for our stay? Torn with conflicting emotions. We're not the only ones. Torn with conflicting emotions. He didn't want to leave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he didn't want to decline some service Mahaprabhu gave him. Deeply attached to Mahaprabhu. So he paid obeisances and asked for the blessings of every Vaishnav in Navadvip. And then with his uncle, Bhugarbha, Lokanath and Bhugarbha went to Vrindavan. At a time when Vrindavan was exactly what the name says. It was a forest. It was a forest. It wasn't what we see today. It was a forest. And he liked forests. But he wanted to be with Mahaprabhu. So he was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then word finally came. Oh, Mahaprabhu didn't come to Vrindavan. His mother sent him to Puri. So he just left Vrindavan to go to Puri to be with Mahaprabhu. And when he got to Puri, he was told, oh, Mahaprabhu just left. He went on tour in South India looking for his brother, Vishwaroop. So he immediately left Puri and went looking in all of South India for Mahaprabhu. Of course, he, you know, would ask, did you see? But his absorption was his attachment to Mahaprabhu. And when he reached the southern tip of South India, he heard, oh, Mahaprabhu has started his trip back to Puri. So he quickly started heading back to Puri. When he reached Puri, oh, he's left for Vrindavan. So he started heading for Vrindavan. And when he reached Vrindavan, oh, he just left Vrindavan heading for Prayag. He was devastated. He was ready to just turn right around and go to Prayag. And he had a dream, and in his dream, Mahaprabhu chastised him. I told you to go to Vrindavan, but you weren't there. I told you I was coming, but you weren't there. And now you want to leave Vrindavan. Stop this restlessness. You're a renunciate. You're a renunciate. Stay in Vrindavan. Very soon, Rupa and Sanatan will be coming. And you take their association. And you will feel my presence in their association. It's another instruction. Giving conflicting emotions. How can I stay in Vrindavan? But how can I not follow the order of Mahaprabhu? Welcome to transcendental life. So he stayed in Vrindavan on the order of Mahaprabhu. And like the Goswamis, even before they came, like the Goswamis, he traveled about in the 12 forests of Raja. And he felt very happy being in Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. And to his heart's content, he could be as austere as his inclination suited. And he could remain as obscure and unknown by other people as he wanted. And the last day that we were in Vrindavan, we visited some of the villages of the Sakis, two of the villages of the Sakis. On the way back, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami pointed out to me again what he's pointed out to me each time I've been with him on the roadside. He's like he gives us his prompts. Oh, over there is where Lokanatha Goswami stayed. There's a village. The village name is Umarau. And in that village of Umarau, there's a Kund named Kishori Kund. Just like in the morning, there was Kishori Kund, but this is another Kishori Kund. So he was very happily situated at Kishori Kund, doing his bhajan, chanting the holy name of Krishna, worshipping Krishna, remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna's pastimes. And much to his surprise, a desire began to awaken within his heart to worship a deity. And he had never worshipped a deity, but suddenly this desire came within his heart, which was very surprising to him, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Then one morning, a small boy, one of the versions of this narration is a small boy came and handed him a bag and said, here, this is for you. And he said, what's in the bag? He said, Radha Vinod. Looked in the bag, and there's Radha Vinod, this deity that you see on the altar. And he looked at the deity and began to ponder. Krishna has fulfilled the desire, but now what am I to do? Because I have no means. So the deity then spoke. All the versions describe. The deity then spoke and said, I am Radha Vinod. And I understand you want to worship a deity, and I want to be worshipped by you. So please worship me. And then he said, but I have nothing to worship you with. He said, offer me whatever you have. I'm hungry. Please prepare some food. How'd you like that to start your deity worship? So he went in the forest and gathered whatever roots and berries and wild things he could gather and made some preparation and offered to Radha Vinod. And because he had nothing, but he had a desire to worship the deity, he made a little bed out of soft leaves and a little frame for the bed, and placed Radha Vinod in the bed. And then began massaging the feet of Radha Vinod, and thought, gather some peacock feathers, and he began fanning the deity and massaging his feet. And he was very happy, and Radha Vinod was very happy. And they were very happily engaged at Kishori Kund, in Umarau, in their eternal loving relationship with one another. Remember, Leela Manjari, worshipping Radha Vinod. Wasn't on the platform of regulative Vidhi Sadhana Bhakti. It was on a spontaneous platform of love of God. He's serving his deity. After some time, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami came to Vrindavan. And they knew from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that his very dear friend, Lokanath Goswami, was somewhere in Braja. So they began inquiring, where is Lokanath Goswami? Where in Braja is he staying? They found out where he was staying, and they sent a messenger requesting him, please come and stay with us. Mahaprabhu had already given that instruction to both of them, Lokanath, associate with Rupa and Sanatan. So he came at once, left the quiet of Kishori Kund to come and stay in Vrindavan and assist Rupa and Sanatan. But his mood was completely like that, assisting. Never. Although his intimacy was not less, it was his mood in his service. And different moods in service are perfectly fine. When called upon, like Radha Vinod requested, I want to be worshipped by you. So one may be called upon to do some service, but different moods in service is fine. So his mood was complete. It's not that Rupa Goswami was other than humble, but just, like I asked Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj to describe this, and he began a little bit. But amongst the Ashtasakis, there's also different moods. There are different, you say, core competencies. There are particular gifts and skills given to them by Radharani that they use in service to Radharani. So we also have some gifts that are given to us by Krishna, and we use them in different ways. In different moods of service, on the transcendental platform, they complement one another. And that's fine. In fact, it's more than fine. It's wonderful. His mood of humility was very, very renounced kind of humility. So much so that when Narottam Das Thakur came to Vrindavan and was seeking initiation from Lokanath Goswami, he had already taken a vow, no disciples. It was not his interest to have disciples or to have that kind of relationship with others. He told Narottam, you're so educated and I'm uneducated. You're a prince and I'm an obscure nobody. You should be initiated by Rupa Goswami or Sanatan Goswami or Jiva Goswami. Someone who is qualified to match your qualification. Narottam Das Thakur, like Srinivas Acharya, Narottam was famous before he was even born. He didn't even do anything. Maharaj Pikshit was famous while still within the womb. Even before within the womb, Narottam Das Thakur was famous. we heard at Madan Mohan Temple yesterday about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Ramakeli, because Rupa and Sanatan had met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Excuse me. They had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they had not yet met him. So they were writing to him to please give us your mercy, because we understand you are the most merciful form of the Lord. You're especially merciful upon the most fallen, and that's our qualification. We're most fallen. We deserve your mercy first. We're the best candidates. Please give us your mercy. So he decided to visit Ramakeli, and he visited Ramakeli. Sanatan Goswami was, if you recall, offering some suggestion to Mahaprabhu: watch out for Nawab Hussain. He's a vicious, vicious person. Today he's okay. Tomorrow he could try to kill you. It's best if you stay away from this place. Although we want your association, stay longer for your well-being. Best that you leave immediately. Nawab is wild and vicious. So, I lost my train of thought. Huh? Can you help me? Where was I? Who's? Yes, Narottam Das Thakur, thank you. So after going to Ramakeli, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his return journey back to Puri. They visited a river named Padma. And in that village where they took bath in the Padma River, Mahaprabhu said that, I've taken my bath in the Padma River because very soon, here in this village, one great personality will take birth named Narottam. I've invested my full love for Krishna, Krishna Prema, in the Padma River. And when he takes his bath in the Padma River, it will be transferred to him, the fullness of my love for Radha and Krishna. So everybody knew, before Narottam was born, this great personality will be known as Narottam. They knew what would happen. And sure enough, it happened. Narottam was born in that village. At a certain age, he took his bath at the very same place where Mahaprabhu had taken his bath, and he came out of the river and a spiritually intoxicated madman. Even his complexion was different. It was golden. His parents didn't hardly recognize him, their own son. Who are you? Are you Narottam? You look like Narottam, but you look a little different. And his mood was just an ecstatic mood of love of God. And it wasn't like, you know, for a minute or 5 minutes or an hour or a day. It didn't change. He became an ecstatic transcendentalist. Already he was a great spiritualist, but he received Mahaprabhu's mercy in a very unique way. After some time, he told his parents, I want to go to Vrindavan. They said no. After some time, he went to Vrindavan. In his dream, he had a dream in which Mahaprabhu told him, go to Vrindavan. Take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami and take initiation from Lokanath. So when he went to Vrindavan, he was fixed, take initiation from Lokanath. When he got to Vrindavan, it was no. I'm not accepting any disciples. And he kept, for a year, he persisted in petitioning. And the answer was always the same, no. You know, different varieties of no. So then he decided, then if I can't receive initiation, let me just serve him. So he asked for some service, and the answer was the same, no. Because he was very renounced. He just, it was dissonant to his heart to receive some service. So to respect that disposition of heart, he served him in such a manner that Lokanath wouldn't know that he was serving him. He cleaned up the place where he evacuated before taking his bath in the river. He would go early in the morning, as is the practice of the sadhus in Vraja, to take his bath in the river Jamuna, and before taking his bath he would evacuate and enter into the river and take his bath and go back and worship Radha Vinod. And this went on for months and months and months, and Lokanath Goswami began to notice the place is always clean. Somebody's doing some service. But I don't accept service from anybody. So he hid to find out who it was, and it was Narottam. He was hiding behind the tree, so he came from out from behind the tree. Ah! What are you doing? I'm just doing some seva. I didn't give you permission to do this. Why are you doing this? This is completely unfitting. You're the son of a prince. You're son of a king. You're a prince. And here you have this little broom and you're cleaning up human waste. This is not a suitable service for you. And with genuine humility and submission, Narottam expressed, please don't deprive me of your mercy. Without your mercy, what is the use of my life? I'm completely dedicated unto your lotus feet. Please don't bar me from that mercy. And his sincerity in humble service was so strong that even the determined renunciation and humility of Lokanath melted, and he agreed to accept him as a disciple. One disciple, Narottam Das Thakur, accepted initiation from Lokanath. There's a very nice story that we narrate during japa retreats in relation to Narottam and Lokanath at Kishori Kund, because Lokanath Maharaj was very fond of that place, Kishori Kund. So he took Narottam there, and they would spend days at a time just in a very secluded, quiet forest. It's one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, and simply chant the holy name all day long. So the narration goes like this, that one farmer, an agriculturalist, was in the area, and he came to where they were chanting japa, and he requested, may I have some water? So Narottam was in the mood of serving the Brijvasi, so he stopped his chanting and went to get some water from the well. Pulled up the bucket and put the water from the bucket into a vessel and gave the vessel to the farmer, and the farmer drank the water and thanked them and went on his way. And Lokanath had a stick in his hand. He took the stick and started beating the earth. Very, with anger, transcendental anger, and said, "You don't belong in Braja. You're rendering personal seva to Radha and Krishna and you leave them to go give water to a farmer. He knows where the water is. He can get water from the well. You're doing the seva of chanting the holy name. You should leave Vrindavan. You're not qualified to live in Vrindavan." The indication being, for us, when you're chanting the holy name, your service is chanting the holy name. It's personal service. Personal service. There are many things that are personal service, but that's when you're directly, because the holy name is manifesting within that sound vibration. Krishna is within that sound vibration. It's like deity worship, when you're doing deity worship. Those of you that have deities in your home. You don't do deity worship and have a conversation. You don't stop your deity worship and go attend to something else and come back and complete your deity worship. When you're doing your deity worship, it's undivided attention. You can be listening to kirtan or listening to a class, fixing your consciousness, just like when you're in the kitchen, when you're cooking. You don't have blah, 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 cooking, cook, blah, blah. You don't do that. It's devotion, directly serving Krishna. And as those principles apply to deity worship, and cooking is an extension of deity worship, chanting even more so, not less so, even more so. That was the message of Lokanath to Narottam. So if we, for those who would like to improve the quality of chanting, we're all chanting, and let's just assume we would all like to improve the quality of our chanting. To improve the quality of chanting, be maximum attentive. And don't be inattentive. Minimize, you know, climate control, how warm it is, how cool it is, and how this it is, and how that it is, and doing this and doing that. Avoid that. If there are things that need to be done, do those things. Sit down and chant. And don't get distracted. If at a certain other interval you can set your beads, take care of this and that, and absorb yourself in chanting. When chanting, your service is one thing. Being attentive to your service to Radha and Krishna. If you do like that, all of your other services will be much more easily seen as service unto Krishna. And if you don't do that, everything will be a chore, including your chanting. And all the other services will be more distant, how to connect them to Krishna. Our connection to Krishna is through our chanting. Hearing and chanting. That's our primary process. It's a nice lesson from Lokanath Goswami. He lived most of his life in Braja, in the association of Rupa and Sanatan, and left this world in Vrindavan, and his samadhi is there at the Gokulananda temple. His deity, Radha Vinod, along with many of the other deities, were brought here to Jaipur by Raj Jai Singh. And appropriate, I think, for the mood of Lokanath Goswami. This isn't in, you know, the prominence of Radha Govinda. It's in the seclusion. There's still, you know, noise outside and so on, but very peaceful place. Simple, clean, peaceful place. And wonderful pujari who is very happy just dedicating himself to service of Radha Vinod. Remember one of the times I was here, I was asking him, I was commenting actually, and I said, "You must really like your service." And he smiled so broadly and said, "I wouldn't want to do anything else. I'm very happy. He doesn't need anything else. Pomp and splendor and big this and big that. He's just very happy doing his service. Radha Vinod." Shri Shri Radha Vinod ki jai. Lokanath Goswami ki jai. Gaur Premanandi ki jai.